In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. I dare to begin with a question. Who, what can separate us from the love of God? You remind me of the time when I taught in the class and I asked a question and everybody started to put their heads down, hoping that I would not be looking at them for the answer. Okay, I'll be kind. I'll make it rhetorical. But I want to suggest that this is one of the most profound questions that on your spiritual journey you can ask yourself. What, who can separate us from God's love? The great Baptist preacher of the 19th century, my favorite, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, wrote these words. A Christian brother was asked one day, "To what persuasion do you belong?" He parried the question at first, for he thought it was not important enough for him to answer it. But the inquirer persisted. "What is your persuasion?" "Well," he said, "if you must know, my persuasion is this. I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation can separate me from the love of God." And Spurgeon added, "And I too, I'm of that persuasion." And this preacher, 21st century, says also, "I too am of that persuasion." About 50 years ago, I preached my first sermon from a pulpit in an Anglican church in London. Yesterday, I tried to find the manuscript of that sermon, and I suddenly realized, Alan, why waste so much time looking back to something rather than what is in front of you? I didn't find it, but I think if I had found it, I would be very embarrassed. I'd be embarrassed by its awkwardness of phrase, by its aridity of passion and commitment to objectivity. But one thing would not embarrass me: that at the outset of my preaching ministry, I chose that text. Because I tell you, friends, I have reflected yesterday and this morning on the privilege of spending 50 years in parish ministry with that as my guiding principle, that nothing can separate me, nor you, nor any in any situation from God's love. What a privilege. Can you imagine what a privilege it is to exercise a ministry that is shaped and motivated and energized by that belief that nothing, nobody can separate us from God's love? As a parishioner friend eloquently gave me a text for the title for the sermon, "We are glued to God." Holy adhesive. Spurgeon continues with these words, "Dear brethren, if I could extend this sermon for 24 hours, I might give you only some of the arguments which support this blessed truth of the non-separation of us from Christ's love. This truth," he says, "seems to me to have struck its roots into all other truths of Scripture. It has twisted itself among the granite rocks, which are the very foundation of our hope." Amen. That's not the end of the sermon. I'm hurt that you laugh, but anyway. The English word separate comes from a Koine Greek word, charizo. In ancient papyri, it refers to the divorce of a marriage partner, the vacating of a relationship in every way, body, soul, mind, spirit, property. Something which our flamboyant White House communications director is apparently about to experience. The word speaks of separation and division. The word speaks of a space being created by agents external to the union. I am persuaded that nothing, natural, supernatural, temporal, eternal, distant or near, can create a space between me and the love of God and between you and the love of God. I am persuaded. This is the conviction that finds voice because of divine revelation. God shows it to be thus. I am persuaded. This is the conviction that finds voice as we are attentive to life experiences and reflect upon them. I am persuaded. This is the conviction that finds voice as we pay attention to the experience of other people. And not just the experience of other people that we can see face to face, but the experience of those fellow pilgrims who have gone before us, whose stories we read in Holy Scripture. Long ago, a spiritual director was told with grief and a little anger by a client that God seemed to be so very distant. His simple response, well, guess who moved? Friends, it is, now hear this, it is integral to the very nature, the very being of God, that you and I cannot be separated from him. If anything else were possible, he would be divided within himself. Over the past weeks, from this desk here, valiant and brave readers such as Joan have struggled with St. Paul. He's not an easy person to write. He doesn't really ever use a full stop. It's phrase after phrase after phrase. It just mounds up in incredible statements. And from Romans chapter 1 until this point, Paul has been slowly building an edifice, and at last the capstone is placed upon it. And the capstone is this: you cannot be separated from God's love. One commentator says, we have here not a jumble of obiter dicta, incidental remarks, but a coordinated presentation of Christianity. You see, now that Paul has reached this pinnacle, he delves into chapters 9 and 11, where he talks about the miracle of the survival of the Jewish people. They could not be separated from God's love. In Romans chapter 12 onwards, he begins to say, once you have been grasped by this conviction, you will live and love and forgive differently. You betcha, as my South Dakotan friends used to say. A mind, a heart that is convinced that they cannot be separated by God has to live differently. These two young ones to be baptized today, Sasha the eloquent and Sophia, Christina and Frank, whom I married yesterday. Daniel and Catherine here celebrating their first anniversary of marriage, being married here last year. All of those with whom and to whom I minister, I am convinced that God cannot be separated from them. Those whom we love but see no longer, let me say the word, those who have died, they cannot be separated from God's love. Our friends and our family for whom we have been temporarily estranged, they cannot be separated from God's love. Professor Dodd writes, "This assurance is not automatic. It has to fight its way through opposing forces. Natural and supernatural powers threaten it. Demonic powers try to take us out of God's love, to ridicule it, and cast doubt on it as an untenable superstition." Sasha, just give me a few more minutes, okay? I share with you a parable. This morning during the 8 o'clock service, I was assisted by Miriam Smith at the altar. I forgot to tell her that when she took the lid, the silver lid off the ciborium, there would not be 100 or so wafers, but only 2. And there was a reason for that. I forgot to tell her. So we get to the moment, and she takes the lid off, and she looks in, and she is surprised, and then she laughs. And friends, God spoke to me, and he said, "This is how it is with us. We think that there are so many, many reasons that separate us from the love of God. And we take the lid off, expecting to see them all there, and there is absolutely nothing. And we are surprised and we laugh with joy because we discover nothing separates us from the love of God. Fellow pilgrim, dear friend, surrender afresh to this magnificent truth. I am persuaded that nothing can separate us from God's love." Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Sasha.